It's noon here in Ventnor, New Jersey, and Bethesda, Maryland, and this could possibly be the windiest place on Earth. And this is news that you can use from Car Edge for Wednesday, March 15th, with your hosts, Ray and Zach. How are you today, handsome? That's a very nice-looking short-sleeve shirt on a very breezy day.
Trust me, I wore something very different when I was coming into the office today. I'm doing great, Dad. How are you doing?
I am well. As I was just reporting to you, I have a fridge. My fridge will finally be here on Friday, and they can have their loaner fridge, and I can have my own personal fridge, and the remodel will be complete.
All right, here's the deal, folks. Today could have been really, you gotta be kidding me, Wednesday, but we're not even going to play the sound bit. We are just going to jump into it. And Heath is on the money. There are two lawsuits, Ford lawsuit, and we got a GM lawsuit. And I didn't share either of them with Pops. We're going to get his reaction live. Where do you want to start, Dad, the Ford lawsuit or the GM lawsuit?
It matters not to me.
All right, we're going to start with Ford, Dad. We are starting to see some of the ramifications from folks, dealers, who are charging additional dealer markups. This comes by way of Ford Authority. Ford dealer sued over alleged $40,000 Super Duty markup. Dad, the story here is pretty simple.
Yeah.
We had a shortage of supply.
Yeah.
Mark Ficken Ford in Charlotte, North Carolina, engaged in some seriously shady tactics when selling a Super Duty to a customer named Alex Gallardo. Gallardo and his wife decided to purchase the Ford Super Duty from the dealership, and as is typically the case, signed the paperwork required to do so. However, strangely enough, the dealership reportedly didn't give them copies of that paperwork, at least until several days later. Upon reviewing those documents, Gallardo made a handful of shocking discoveries. For starters, the sales price listed on the truck was $117,000, which is $43,000 more than the $74,000 that they had agreed to pay, making matters worse. The listed annual percentage rate on their loan was much higher as well. And the dealer added all the extras. You're going to need GAP when you're financing a truck for $117,000 on a $74,000 MSRP. They claim they didn't agree to that. Gallardo contacted the dealer, which merely agreed to buy the truck back from him, a development that understandably didn't settle with him well. At the time, quote, "We would have just been wasted. All that time invested into looking for a vehicle, going to the dealership, taking the time off work, et cetera, et cetera." He sought legal counsel, and for now, the dealership is refusing to comment. However, they are being sued. Dad,
yeah,
I think we're going to see more stories like these as people realize how buried they are on car deals, or at least the frustration with dealers will continue to grow.
Well, I mean, part of the problem here, if I may, is that the customer should have never left the dealership without signed copies of signed documents. It's just that simple. You're the one committing to purchasing the vehicle. You're signing legal documents, and there's no reason on God's green earth that you should ever walk out of there under any circumstances without your personal copies of whatever it is that you signed. Now, the dealership may say, "Well, we'll get it to you in a few days." You say, "Well, you know, what do you got, a bed for me? You're going to feed me? You're going to clothe me? You're going to house me? Because I ain't going anywhere until I get my signed documents." That's just part and parcel of a car deal. So never leave the dealership without your copies. Just never do it. Now, I believe in this particular case, they're claiming that their names and signatures were forged on documents that they claim they never signed at the much higher price point. So that is, they're claiming a certain type of fraud. You know what? If they don't have copies of the original documents, it might be difficult for them to prove that as the case. That's why you need to always get copies. Now, are there dealerships out there that do crap like this? Absolutely. I can relate a time in Arizona where a customer came in and she said, "Well, I thought I purchased what I was buying at the other Acura dealership because we agreed on a 60-month purchase, and it turns out that I signed for a 60-month lease." Well, that's a big difference. You know, so dealerships, are there dealerships that pull shady tactics and sometimes commit fraud? Big Red in Oklahoma. So it happens.
I'm still waiting for the Netflix series from Big Red to come out. And if yes. a producer is not on that, they're missing a great opportunity.
So I feel bad for the customer. And the dealership should have never, if what they are alleged to have done, if that is true, obviously they should have never done it. And they should have a heck of a lot more sense than that. But any customer, anytime you buy anything that you're signing for, please, please, please refuse to leave until you get copies of everything. And if they give it to you on a thumb drive, say, great. You want to show me what I signed before I leave here with the thumb drive? I want to see what it is that you're giving me copies of. Just protect your own interests.
I think part of what we try and do by pairing people up with car coaches and giving them access to us either via chat or phone or email or even just the community in general is feeling empowered enough to press pause and ask these questions. Because, yes. I mean, I remember the last time I bought a car, you were there by my side, and I was still confused about what the heck was going on, even though you were there to handle everything for me. It is disorienting. It is confusing. And I'm not going to say that every dealership does that intentionally. It's the second biggest purchase in most of our lives. So it's going to be a little intimidating. We don't do it all that often. And exactly. So you can empathize with someone who's going to lose perspective and just say, okay, you know, I'm so excited. I mean, buying a car is supposed to be fun, Dad.
Like, yes,
you're
absolutely.
Spending all this money. And so I kind of empathize with the customer, but at the same time, these are like the ABCs, the foundational elements of buying a car. Got to know what you got to review the bank contract. You got to understand the Truth in Lending Act pieces on that contract. If you're intimidated, phone a friend, folks. Like, that's why we're doing what we're doing, is so that these situations can't happen. And to that dealership, what the hell are you doing putting yourself in this situation? Just rectify the issue with the consumer. It is not worth it to do this BS. Just make it right. Like, that is such a good principle of business. Just make it right.
Well, it's almost as if the dealership said, well, we'll buy back the truck, that they've admitted their guilt. Why would you buy back the truck if you didn't do what they've alleged that you've done? You would say, if you hadn't done it, you would simply say, well, you signed for it all. Here's the documents. Why should we do anything? But the fact that the dealership's saying, okay, well, we'll buy back the truck, that is like admitting that they did what they were alleged to have done. It's just, I understand that customers don't buy cars every day. I get that, okay? And I understand that it's supposed to be fun and it's supposed to be an exciting time. That doesn't mean or preclude a customer from protecting their interests. It is the customer's responsibility to protect their own interest and to advocate on their own behalf. If you are going to depend on a dealership to do that for you, then you are a bigger fool than what that dealership thought. Okay, there's a certain amount of responsibility that falls on the customer. And if you don't understand something when the finance person is asking you to sign it, just, you know, time out. I'm a little confused. I need you to go over this with me again. So, you know, explain it to me like I'm a kindergartner so I can understand exactly what it is that you're having me sign and why. It's your job to protect your interests. Now, I'm not saying that to excuse dealers from doing shady things. There is no excuse for a dealer to do that. None whatsoever, other than pure greed. And you know, it's a criminal act. So, you know, if you're an employee of that dealership, you have to think to yourself, well, if this is what they do, is this who I really want to be associated with? But the customer bears the responsibility of protecting their own interests.
Yeah. We had a comment in the chat talking about, you know, you need a lifeline. And that's obviously what we're trying to build here with the community. Mm-hmm. and with the team that we have. So please, you know, like, get a lifeline if you're intimidated by this process. That's what we're here to do. Now, Dad, the other story, the other lawsuit, we covered this one. We've been covering this story for a while, probably for, I'll say, 2 years now. Destination fees. Okay. Yes. Destination fees are widely understood to just be, I don't know, a fee that is charged and somehow it gets added to the MSRP. And for whatever reason, now on some products, it's up to $2,000. They have just been growing up in price year after year.
Yes.
After year. Well, you may not have known it, but there was a lawsuit against General Motors, and a judge, Dad, and an appeal judge, dropped the lawsuit against GM for their, what consumers were saying were deceptive practices with their destination fees.
Okay.
So this lawsuit was actually just dropped, but I find it to be very fascinating. The class action lawsuit filed against GM in 2021 over destination fees has been dismissed. According to the report from Car Complaints, two plaintiffs allege that customers are disadvantaged when purchasing a new vehicle from General Motors because the Detroit-based automaker includes destination freight charges with every vehicle. They claim that the average customer would be shocked to learn that the General, GM, profits from this fee. Additionally, both plaintiffs assert that they didn't know GM made a profit from the destination freight charge. My first question to you, Dad, and we're going to dig into what the lawsuit said. Do you think most consumers know that the destination fee, which has gone up to nearly $2,000 on some Stellantis products, for example, or even close to $2,000 on some Ford products and GM products, do you think most consumers know that that is a profit center for the automaker?
No. And why would they? And why would you think of it as being a profit center? The potential is there for it to be a profit center. Absolutely. But that doesn't preclude the manufacturer from charging to get the vehicle from where it was manufactured to the ultimate customer. And for the dealership, the ultimate customer is the dealership. Okay, for the manufacturer, the ultimate customer is to get it to the dealership. They will sell it to the ultimate retail customer. But there is a cost of doing that. And the fact that it is spelled out, listed in black and white on the Monroney label, is what allows them to be able to do it. And it is the same for every customer. And what I mean by that is if that vehicle was built in Detroit and a Michigan dealer were to get it, well, obviously it doesn't cost $1,895 to ship it from the plant in Detroit to the dealer in Detroit. But it very well could cost $1,895 or close to it to ship it to the dealer in Washington State or in South Florida. So they average it out, and every dealership pays the same. And it's listed. Yes.
But, Dad, my question to you is simple. Do you think the average consumer knows that that is a profit center?
No.
Okay, thank you. Because... that is what the plaintiff said, and that is not what the judges said. Destination fees is from the plaintiff. Destination fee is generally understood in the automotive industry to reflect the manufacturer's average cost of delivering one of its units to a dealership. The destination fee is charged to the dealer and passed on to the purchaser or lessee of that vehicle. Consumers similarly have the expectation that they are covering an automotive manufacturer's cost for the delivery of the manufacturer's vehicle when paying the destination fee as part of their new vehicle purchase or lease. That all makes sense. The district court, Dad, who was assigned to this lawsuit, they said, this is from Judge William Q, stating, quote, reasonable or average consumers would not be surprised to learn that the price of goods often includes profit for the seller. The term, quote, destination charge does not reasonably imply an absence of profit. This got appealed up to another court after they were pushed back, you know, rejected by this judge.
Yeah.
And that judge said the same exact thing. A reasonable and responsible consumer would know that a destination fee is a profit center for an automaker, and it's not misleading. F that, man. That's like when these dealerships lump together dock fee, processing fee, taxes and everything. This is just people taking advantage of us to make more money.
Well, no, it would be unreasonable to assume that a reasonable person would think that the destination charge actually has a profit built into it. I think a reasonable person would assume that the reason the destination charge is what it is because that's the average cost to get it from point A to point B throughout its entire dealer network. So, no, it wouldn't be reasonable for a customer to assume that there's a profit built into that. Now, there's nothing that says, as far as I know, that the manufacturer can't build a profit into that if they want to. Okay.
They obviously do.
You know, in some cases, yes. So, you know, in my mind, it's almost a frivolous lawsuit. Okay, because it's a listed item on the window sticker. So it is what it is. Everybody's being charged the same for it. So what the hell difference does it make?
It's misleading. They should come up with a different way to make that profit.
Nobody said that they couldn't be making a profit on it. So why is it misleading? It's a destination charge.
We have an article over on CarEdge.com. We track the vehicles with the highest and lowest destination charges. Folks, you cannot buy a new car without a $1,000 destination charge. Like, that is the entry point with Mini. Chevy has some with their Bolt. Honda, it's over a $1,000 destination charge. Volkswagen, Subaru, all around $1,000. You looked at it, the vehicles with the highest destination charges. Jeep Grand Wagoneer, two grand for the Wagoneer, $1,895 for a Ram 1500. Same with an Escalade, Silverado, Suburban, Tahoe, F-150, Expedition, Sierra, Yukon, Sierra and Yukon. Then you got the Toyota Tundra. So, yeah, I guess you do have to be a little bit naive to think that on average it costs these OEMs $2,000 to, I don't know, take that Jeep Grand Wagoneer from the manufacturing plant, wherever it is here in the United States, and get it to the other destination. But still, the prices of those have gone up significantly.
Yeah, but that's not the argument here. Okay, the argument here is that manufacturers oftentimes use that as a way to make additional profit. Okay, yes. Yeah, so if they didn't do that, they just raise the MSRP of the vehicle, and they could lower the destination charge. Okay, but it's still going to come up to the same damn price. So. It's the manufacturer that does it. It is not the dealer that does it. Now, on a pre-owned car, when dealers buy pre-owned cars at the auction, and then they want to charge a destination charge or a freight charge to the retail customer when they buy that. Now, that's a different story, and that's something that should never be listed as a separate line item on a pre-owned car, because that is part of the cost of doing business for the dealership. If they're buying vehicles at the auction, well, they have to factor in the cost of getting that vehicle back to the dealership. And that should be factored into the asking price of the vehicle, not a separate line item, so that they can show a lower asking price and then jack up the price with, well, $1,500 destination charge. That is pure unadulterated BS, and the other is somewhat adulterated BS.
Do me a favor, Pops. Can you point just down at that link that I put on the screen? Can you point at it? A little higher, a little higher, a little higher, a little higher. There it is. A little to your right. Yeah. Y'all, fees you shouldn't pay, fees you should pay. You shouldn't be paying fees, but click on that link. Go to that link. We've got a guide. We keep it updated. And also on the community, we do car deal reviews all day long. So please do not pay BS fees like the one you were just alluding to. Now, another reason car dealers are in big trouble right now, Pops, and this is not lawsuit related. This is macroeconomic related. I want to guess from you and guesses in the chat. What is the latest data from Cox, the average used car APR? What do you think it is, Dad?
This information from Cox Automotive?
This is so far in March from Cox Automotive, used car APR. Everyone in the chat, came out just this morning, hot off the presses. Everyone in the chat, please share what you think average APR is on a used car.
I believe it's 13.95%. And that's just a guess because I haven't looked at the article yet.
Guesses in the chat, but holy cow, Deb.
What?
Leon says 18.7. Chris says 17. Jason says 6. 8.9 from Scat Pack Bob. Jay Welk at 14.5. This isn't a contest, but if it was,
yes,
I think my dad would win. Kind of like Price is Right. You were right there, Dad. The average APR on a used car loan is 13.98%.
Almost data seems reasonable.
From the beginning of March.
Oh, my goodness.
look at this chart. So what they do here, which I appreciate, is they put in the blue line, the 10-year treasury yield.
Yes.
The Fed funds rate is in the purple line. And then we have new vehicle, which is up to 8.9%, and used vehicle. And just look at that trajectory, everyone. It's insane. The average APR on a used car loan is 14%.
Well, okay. So somebody needs to explain to me, if that's the percentage rate, how people are affording the used cars if the dealers are not really lowering the prices that much, if at all, on pre-owned cars, but the dealers are actually paying retail and above at auctions to buy those cars. Please explain to me how that can possibly work.
Let's do a quick, story time. Let's test this out. I'm going to the Car Edge website. I am going to name a car, Dad. What do we want to look at?
Why do you do that to me every time? You name a damn car. I'm sick and tired of naming cars.
All right, we're going to do one that's, you know, reasonable price. Let's do a Sonata, Hyundai Sonata.
Okay.
Used one. Great. This one right here. Perfect.
Okay.
All right. Hey, this one actually is very, very negotiable. I like that.
Yeah.
Here's the deal.
That's because it's got 70-some thousand miles on it, and it's priced probably more than what it was when it was brand new.
I'm going to the monthly payment calculator. We're gonna play a quick game. Yeah. If we're the average consumer,
yeah,
this pains me, but we're thinking about going up to an 84-month term. And if I had 5%, my monthly payment here would be $385 with zero down.
Yeah.
What's that going to change to when I put 14% in there?
It's probably going to go up to just under $500, I'm guessing.
Oh my gosh. All right, here we go. $510 is my monthly payment on an 84-month note on a 2018 Sonata.
Yeah.
At the average APR.
Yes.
Yeah, you tell me, Dad, how is that sustainable? That just priced out most people. And we're talking about a 2018 Hyundai Sonata, which, if I'm not mistaken, let's see, way back when it was selling for $21,899. One of the things we're working on right now is getting window stickers for vehicles, used vehicles, getting window stickers. I would love to pull up the window sticker from that one to see the exact MSRP on day one, because they're trying to sell it for more than MSRP probably.
Yes.
And at 14% APR, $500 a month payment for a Hyundai Sonata with 70,000 miles on it. What? Ron has got it right. Ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it is, but here's the dilemma. There still seems to be enough people in the market who are buying those vehicles, who are paying those rates, who are finding $500 a month to be an affordable monthly payment, even on an overpriced pre-owned car, which is the reason why dealers keep asking so damn much money for the pre-owned cars that they have. And if you were to contrast that with a $40,000 new one, say, if it were $40,000 with dealer markups and everything else, you know, that payment at $40,000 would be so far out of the realm of reasonableness for that customer that they look at $500 a month on that overpriced pre-owned one and go, yeah, I can afford that. You know, what they don't realize is that it's out of warranty, okay? Any major repair is on them. The likelihood of there being a major repair between the time they enter into that contract and the time they finally pay it off, if you were to go to our Car Edge website and look at the free data, they would probably see that 7-8 years old that you're going to encounter a major repair. But they don't factor any, when I say they, customers don't factor any of that into their buying decisions. What they factor into that buying decision is, can I afford that payment on a monthly basis? And that's 85% of all customers out there. And that's looking at it the wrong way. It's not, can I afford the monthly payment? Can I afford the ultimate cost of this vehicle moving forward? And people just are so short-sighted. They just look at what that payment's going to be 45 days from now.
Car Edge report coming hopefully next week, maybe the week after that. Car Edge report will help you identify all these costs and also what the fair price is to pay. We've got all sorts of black book data that we're pulling into the report too. That'll help you understand what you're getting into. So stay tuned for that. Dad, you've got another show here coming up in just a few minutes.
Yes.
Over on the Car Edge Electric channel. Just want to give a huge shout out to you and Justice. You guys are crushing it over there. I love the shows. They're quite fun. And look at today's thumbnail. I dropped the link in the chat. You and Justice in the Ioniq 5 coming for Justin. I cannot wait to tune in to today's show. So if you're not over on Car Edge Electric, you need to be. Hyundai makes the best non-Tesla EV. Let me tell you why.
Oh my God, look at the look on my face. Am I frightened? I mean, what is going on? Did Justice turn up the electric heater on the car? See, I mean, what is causing that look on my face?
Hey, I want to remind everyone that we partnered with credit unions last year. Just go to caredge.com/finance and we can help you get pre-qualified. I was just peeking, Dad. Wings for short-term 36-month auto loans, still 4.24% if your credit qualifies. So please get pre-qualified with a credit union. I've been DMing with a woman on Instagram. Her daughter was trying to lease a car, 600 credit score, thin file, got approved for a 24% APR finance deal. I told her, please, please, please go get pre-qualified with a credit union. It is the best thing you can possibly do. We like the fact that we work with credit unions. We vetted them. So please take advantage of that and use the resources that we have available at caredge.com. Pops, enjoy your next show.
We'll be back tomorrow,
correct?
We will be back here again tomorrow at noon Eastern, 9 specific, with more news that you can use from Car Edge these days, from caredge.com. You know, even I sometimes forget who the hell we are.
You're funny, man. You're funny.
Down go Shefka.
See y'all tomorrow. Enjoy the
Thanks, everybody, for being here. Thank you, Zach.
Bye-bye.